All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake here.
We appreciate you stopping by. Jake, you just never know what I'm going to say and how it's going to come out, do you?
I just never know how many all rights are going to... It depends on how excited you are, I guess.
Sometimes it's two or three or four.
All of them.
I could just get stuck on an endless loop of all rights.
Yeah. So. Well, all right. Why don't you tell us what we're talking about today?
Well, we're glad you stopped by, and this is a Torah apologetics. And so we've been thinking about how do we tell people about what we do? And so you, if you are like the rest of us, you have had conversations with people, I hope.
Probably.
Yeah. So hopefully you've talked to a few folks along the way and told them about what we do. And, you know, we hope that you're able to
have conversations with people.
And so we've just been thinking about what are things that people have said to us, and some questions that they've asked us, some conversations that we've gone down. And we also are kind of, from the background, we've also said some things wrong.
Right.
Had some conversations maybe we wish we could have back. And those are, you can't. Once those are out of the bag, you know, it's kind of hard. So we're trying to give you some tools that will help you talk to other people. So this is a part two of a multi-part series. At this point, we don't really know how many. I don't know where to put this. I don't really know. Oh, I just covered our face up.
But with our
we
face.
Don't, we don't really know how many, where this goes. But we're going to go with something someone may have asked for sure is, why do you want to be under the law, Jake? Why would you want to go back under the law?
Right. Well, so... This, obviously, the whole point of this is to try to get them to kind of say what they mean, because you can't have a conversation with someone if you're not on the same page.
Right? Well, and good point. You know, this is a conversation. You know, right. This isn't your dissertation. And if you make this your dissertation, they just tuned you out.
Yeah.
So back to the question. What was the question?
Why do you want to be under the law? Well, what does it mean to be under the law? What do you mean by that?
So we really have these two questions, these guiding questions, if you will. And so once you share these guiding questions with the people.
So, yeah, when someone asks me that, I say, well, what do you mean by under the law? What does it mean to be under the law? And then second thing I would ask is, well, how do you define the law? What do you mean by the law?
And so we think it's very important that you listen to people. Let them talk. Let them give you a thing. And also, don't take these things that we're doing as this is not necessarily what you do in one session with someone.
Yeah.
This is over time, repeated conversations with a little bit at a time. And so it's just like, look at the model that that our Father laid out for us. He doesn't give us everything at once because we can't take it. You just can't mentally... take it all at once, and you take it in little steps. It's like, you know, Adam walked with him every day in the garden, and every day he learned a little bit more than he knew the day before. He didn't tell him in one day, here, Adam, this is it. Dump.
Yeah.
It would be too much. He'd be just like, what?
Exactly. And think about, like, when you came into this.
Yeah.
It's like, how much of that were, you know, it takes a paradigm shift on a certain issue, and then maybe later another one and another one until... You know, it all starts to come together. So
definitely less is more here. You want them to come away with some questions that maybe they generally will research and question and try to find answers to.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them all the answers.
Right.
You may have to guide them. And that's what we're trying to do is help you guide them.
And you can't tell people, you don't know what someone needs to hear from you if you don't hear where they are.
Yeah. So the law is done away with, they might say that.
Right. Or they might say the law is the school teacher to show us we need Messiah. Now, these are things that Matt and I have heard, and you may have heard other things, but for the sake of the conversation, we're pulling from our own experience.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The law is impossible to keep.
Well, the law was instructions for the Jewish people to be set apart from the pagan nations of the time. He was just trying to set them apart so that he could create a people for himself, and now that's not necessary.
Under the law is to be under the burden of the law.
Right.
So we're going to talk about some of these things. And so we're going to give you some scriptures that you can put in your tool bag, and one of these is Galatians 3, 24 through 25.
Right, because this is where they're getting that idea of, well, you're, you know, not under the law anymore.
And also, you shouldn't be afraid of these arguments. You should embrace them and run to them, and should say things like, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great question. You know, I think that's part of this is not to run away from these objections, because really these are objections that they're having, and you don't run away from them, but you embrace them and accept them and you know, kind of surprise them, because they think, man, they got you.
Yeah.
You know, I just got you. I'm about to burn you. And you go, great. That's awesome. Yes. Yes. Let's go there. Let's talk about it.
Right.
And that kind of already sets them back a little bit and takes a little bit of the defensiveness off of them, because now they're like, wait a minute, he's not afraid of this. He's supposed to be afraid of what I'm saying. This is destroying.
Supposed to destroy his argument. Right.
Yeah.
When really, so what I find is that people don't realize that you've thought through their side of the argument already. So they think they're bringing you something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go to Galatians. Galatians 3, 24 through 25.
Right. So this is, they're going to, this is a cherry-picked verse, set of verses that they used to create a whole theology over many times. So it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And they use the fact that, you know, he's likening the schoolmaster to the law, and you're no longer under that.
Yep. And then Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? This would be more of like what we would say.
Right. So, and Romans 6:14 is even more direct to that point. Sure, we're not under the law. But Paul says, for sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Right? So that's the whole argument. They're saying, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And Paul says, yes, we are. However, does that mean that we can sin? What then? If that's true, that we're not under the law, but under grace, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? He says, Yahweh forbid. Elohim forbid that we take that to mean that. You have no license to sin simply because you're under grace and not under the law.
What about license to ill?
License to ill. Yes.
Different topic.
I don't.
You don't know, Beastie Boys?
I have no answer to that.
Beastie Boys. Okay. So, but definitely, that is a conversation that we have had before. And then it brings up other things like what is sin, you know, and we are going to address some of these others. Some of these they're very intertwined.
Right.
But, you know.
We're trying to break it out as best we can.
And then we have Proverbs 6:23.
Right.
For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, which is a fantastic verse.
Right. So when they're saying the law is a burden, these are some of the things that come to mind for us, because over and over again, you see that that's not how Yahweh describes the law. That's how man describes the law. So Psalms 19:7 says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. It's perfect.
Psalm 19:8, the statutes of Elohim are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh is pure, enlightening to the eyes.
And then Psalm 1:1 said, blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
I don't want to sit.
What's a sinner? Know. That's weird.
Sitteth? What's a
sinner? Sinner. Sitteth. Sinner. It's sitting. It's like, yeah, don't sitteth in the seat.
Yeah, that sounds uncomfortable.
Like you're sitting right now. Seat?
I don't want to be sitting in the scornful seat.
No. Stay away from the scornful seat.
Painful. And then Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and his law doth meditate day and night.
So if the law is a burden, if it's done away with, how can I delight in it? Do we delight in the law of Yahweh? I mean, when people are saying it's a burden and we're, you know, relieved from that mess, mm-hmm. it doesn't sound like they're delighting in the law of mm-hmm. Yahweh.
Well, it's just they don't even, you know, there's a lot of application to everyday life. For instance, if you live in a HOA, you delight in that law because that HOA law protects you and your property owners from some guy deciding, hey, I think I'm going to open up a transmission shop in the neighborhood right next to you in your nice house. I'm going to build a nice building out back, and I'm just going to have my own business here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to have 24/7 shift work right here, right next to your bedroom.
Right.
So that, you know, those laws protect you. And so that's a physical, earthly example where we embrace the law. And we, in fact, people in HOA, they pay. They like it so much, they pay for these people to make these rules to tell them what to do. And a lot of times they even manage it third party, where they all put their money together and they pay someone else to come in and be a neutral party to manage and keep everybody on the same page.
Yeah. And you don't want to, you know, if you're keeping the laws of the country, right, you're in good standing. You're a citizen in good standing. You want to be keeping the laws, right?
Yeah, otherwise the helicopters are struggling in your house.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
All right, so Psalm 119, verse 72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver." So, I mean, do we think of it that way?
Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." I see a theme.
Yes. Where Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he."
Happy is he. Sounds like an old hymn.
Yeah. Now, go back real quick. One of the things, you're on the picture. And go back. All right. So one of the things that I think is kind of odd is that even the church I would go to would pull up Psalms and Proverbs and read them as though they apply. So the point would be, does Psalm 1:3 apply, but Psalm 1:2 doesn't? Which one was done away with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one was, because it's talking about the law, right? So that was always confusing to me, and you might just ask how that isn't confusing.
Yeah.
So
good point. All right, and then we go to Matthew 5:17-18. By the way, this is the Authorized King James Version.
This is Yeshua talking, right?
Yeah. And so in 17, he says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled."
Is everything fulfilled, Matt?
No.
No, it isn't. Now, I've heard people argue that heaven and earth have passed away, but
I'm still here.
I know. I think that's just a winning argument.
It reminds me of the movie of the Inception with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should cut the video so it seems like it's still spinning.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, he says, "In no wise will one of the smallest letters pass from the law, not even the whole book of Leviticus will pass from the law, because until all is fulfilled." And all has not been fulfilled.
Nope. Matthew 5:19-20. Let me move this.
And I'll be able to see it. So it says, "Whosoever shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, one thing that I think about here is Sabbath. Is that one of the least commandments? That's probably one of the main commandments, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think the penalty for breaking that was quite severe.
Capital.
Yes. So that's not even one of the least. So when we're telling people and teaching them, don't worry about things that are great commandments. I mean, woe unto you if you're teaching that, I think.
Right. Good point.
And there's a righteousness that we're to be, you know, exceeding.
Mm-hmm.
We think that, well, Yeshua covers us and he's our righteousness. Yes, but you're supposed to be, he's talking about your righteousness having to be better than those of the scribes and Pharisees.
Yeah.
So.
And then Romans 7:7-14, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought me in all manner of
concupiscence.
Yes, thank you. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law. Once when the commandment came, sin revived and died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that might appear sin, working death in me, that which is good, that sin by the command might become exceedingly sinful. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
So the law is spiritual. And then he's going to go on to tell you to walk in the Spirit, walk in the law that is spiritual.
And we are reading from the King James, and so sometimes it's a little bit like you kind of can get lost in the weeds right in there.
Yeah. So
you might want to look at a different version to help you with it a little.
So is the law sin? And then he says, I have not known sin but by the law, right? And then what kind of law does he bring up? Where does this law that he's calling sin come from?
The commandments? What do you mean?
The Torah, right? It's not some New Testament law he's making up. He goes back to Torah and says, this law from Torah shows me I've become sinful.
You've heard Matthew or Mark or Luke or John say.
Or Yeshua.
Yeah.
He's pointing to the law.
That scripture did not exist like that. So then as we go through, what is your definition of sin? And listen to the response. Find out where they are. Yeshua always teaches us and reaches us where we are. And so listen to how they define what sin is, because sin is important to define. If you don't define sin, that, you know, because growing up, sin was don't do bad stuff is kind of what I understood.
Or missing the mark, like the arrow missing the mark. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? You know, what's the mark you're aiming for, right? So and then
find
it's always subjective, because it's how I feel tends to be an answer. But.
And so you kind of have to ask that question, find out where they are. And then, so we're going to help you point them, you know, where can you go? Well, you can go to 1 John 3:4-6, and once you read this.
Yeah, so you're going to ask them what sin is and listen to them define it. And then they may ask, well, what is your definition of sin or some such? Mm-hmm. And you'll say, my definition aligns with Scripture because it defines it in Scripture. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that it was manifested to take away. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
And when you go back, you know, the concept you're talking about probably goes back to Greek, and the Greek said missing the mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you can easily think of a, you know, that is true. You can
it
think
true,
of
a
big target, but Torah, you know, that's the target. Is
right.
Lining up with that. That's what you want to have.
Right. Or, you know, they'll say the target is the Yeshua's walk. And
Did
Yeshua walk contrary to Torah?
Nope. He did not.
And then we have the same verse here. We have verse 6, though.
Yeah.
So whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Strong words.
Very strong. Oh, have we reached the
end?
And
that is the conclusion, the stunning conclusion.
So, suddenly.
Yeah. So it's very important knowing what the law is and being on the same page with whoever you're conversing with, what the law is and what sin is. Because if you don't, get on the same page with that, you're going to be talking in circles around each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to go into more, we're going to break things down, and there's just so many other little things here that we see that you can go down. And we definitely have said things the wrong way to people. We've been too forceful. We've been Torah-terrorists, and we're trying to help you figure out how to talk in a loving manner to your friends, to your family members, to your coworkers, in a way that will draw them in, because we want to draw people to the Word. You know, and even if you get in this discussion and they're going back and having to read their Bible, I mean, that's a great thing.
Right.
If you've made them do that, you've done something, and they're going to get something out of it. It may not even be what you were trying to accomplish, but there may be something that they need to go do beforehand, you know.
Yeah.
And
since you're using scripture, the Word doesn't return void. So will be some benefit from it.
Yep. So we thank you for stopping by and listening to part two of A Torah Apologetics. And please check out part one. It'll be somewhere tied to this at the bottom. Make sure you check out part one and the rest of the series. If you come into this in the middle, there'll be a whole playlist dedicated to this as well. And we'll put this on our website, and so you can take this and use it however you want to.
And what is that website again, Matt?
It's you can find us at sabbathlounge.com.
There you go.
Thank you for tuning in. And this is Matt and
Jake
signing out.